Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon.
Welcome, everybody, to Sharing the Burden here on Whistle FM. This is Jay Rumble, the producer here today, and Scott is away for this episode, but joining us in the studio is a regular guest on the show, Raj, who's going to be leading the discussion. Morning, Raj. How are you?
Good morning, Jason. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're very welcome, and I see you have a guest here this morning.
Yes, I do have a guest, and I will leave the introductions to him.
Good morning. My name is Ian, and I'm from the Barrie area in recovering, and thank you very much, guys, for having me on the show today.
You're welcome, Ian. Guys, I'm just in here filling in for Scott since he's away on, what is it, sunny California?
That's right, down in sunny California, right.
Anyways, I have been on the show before, and it's been it's quite an honor to be back, and also, in fact, hosting the show. Of course, I don't have a wonderful spiel like the way Scott has, but I'll try and make do as much as I can and share my experience, and so will Ian, about recovery and where we are in our lifelong journey. Well, since we are on the show, we're going to be talking about Step 10, and Step 10 in the 12-step program is we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. We're also going to talk about Ian, and we'll see how he shares his story with us and where he has reached his life in this journey, because in my opinion, recovery is not a journey, it's a lifelong process, and it goes on and on. And as we evolve as a person, and this, that's the way I come from where I come from, is like every day is a new day for me in recovery. I get to learn something about myself. I have to take personal inventory, find out my flaws, and I guess that's what recovery is all about. And especially when you add the spiritual aspect to it, for some people it's higher powers, for some people it's a god of their understanding, but for me it's God, because gratefully I was born and brought up in a Christian family, but I have the spiritual connection with God today, and it makes my recovery a little more easier when you have the spiritual aspect, because it's spiritual, physical, and psychological, if I would say, you know, recovery is all about. Anyway, I'm going to introduce my speaker, Ian, and I'll let him share his story with us and where his life is today in recovery. Ian, welcome to Sharing the Burden.
Yes, thanks again, Raj and Jason, for having me on the show. It's quite an honor to be able to do something like this. Bear with me. I'm quite early in recovery. I just actually passed 1 year of sobriety on October 3rd. However, I've been involved in 12-step programs since, I'd say a good 16, 17 years. I've been aware of it. And for me, it was a struggle with the not only the acceptance, but the willingness, the honesty. Obviously, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness is the three major keys that I just didn't grasp. And since I came, I didn't want to do the work, really. You know, I could admit, sure, I am powerless. I have a problem. I have a disease. I have an addiction. My life is unmanageable. Things are very difficult. That's about as far as I would get. I wouldn't want to commit to anything. You know, it says in our big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, faith without works is dead. And I wasn't willing to put the faith or do any of the work to maintain the faith. I was lucky enough to get into a treatment center for the first time. Well, I was in a treatment center about 16 years ago for only about 30 days, and then I only lasted about 2 months after that because I didn't get involved with the program and do the work. However, just the December 17th of 2017, I got into my first treatment center, and that's where I really started to open up my eyes and my willingness to the program and the 12 steps of recovery and how that would apply in my life. I was born into a Christian family, so I kind of, you know, I was actually forced to go to church over my childhood years. And then as I got older, I kind of grew apart in my addiction. And the God of my understanding was like, oh God, please help me here. Save me here. Help me with this. I want this, you know. It was never doing work in his will, right? It was all about me. So I was in and out of a couple different treatment programs, but I finally just graduated a 24-week program just outside of Barrie. It was called Hope Acres, a wonderful, wonderful program put on by the Salvation Army. And in that place, I was able to connect with my higher power, who I choose to call God, and really get on a personal relationship with him and really understand that, you know, I can't do this on my own. There's a lot of support around me. There's a lot of knowledge that I've learned over my journey of addiction in itself and the struggles with addiction. And for me, addiction, it wasn't the alcohol, which was my main thing, or, you know, a little bit of drugs that I had done. It was mostly my way of thinking. I don't think properly, and I have a hard time with social aspects in life, and I just couldn't live life on life's terms. And so in that program, I learned how to do that, got introduced properly to the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12-step program. Today, I've just completed a major part of the fourth step, where I create my original personal inventory and really have a look at the things that happened in my life and that brought me to where I am today. Resentments, things that happened to me, things that I did to people. And they draw that all out in black and white on pen and paper. And it's really quite an eye-opener to see my part in it. It's a question of, do I want to carry the burden of what happened to me in my past? You know, I've had traumas and stuff like that, but it's, do I want to continue carrying that pain, and how do I want to process it? How do I want to deal with it? So the step 10 it's a beautiful step. I haven't gotten to that step with my sponsor yet, but it's something that I can do on a small basis today. I can continue to be aware of how I'm presenting myself, what I'm saying to people, how I'm acting to people, just in my own actions. And at the end of the day, when I do go to bed and I thank my God for the day that I was given and the blessings that I had, I also review, you know, the interactions of the day. Is there something that I need to correct? Is there something that I need to go back and address? And did I hurt anybody? Did I not help somebody when I should have? And how does all that look? Every morning when I wake, I do say that there's a third step prayer. And it says, God, I offer myself to thee, to do with thee as thou will, to do with me as thou will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, so that I may better do thy will. And may victory over my difficulties bear witness to those that I may help of thy power, thy will, and thy way of life. And for me, that's very, very important every morning to say, because I know that if I'm out there doing things in God's eyes, to be a representation of what the 12 steps is doing for me, and what addiction and living with addiction really means to me, I need to prove by example. It's the actions that I can do on a daily basis, even not completing the 12 steps just yet, but I have a big awareness of what is involved, and I can continue working forward in my life on a daily basis today. And things have been really, really amazing for me. Like I say, I'm just 1 year now, but as Raja said, it is a lifelong process. You know, when I got 3 or 4 days sobriety, that was like gold to me. I feel a little bit healthier. You know, I got a little bit more money in the bank, but I thought never in a million years would I get a year. So here I am now at a year, and it doesn't even feel like it. Because I know now, mentally in my mind, I'm prepared to do this for the rest of my life. I have to do the work that's necessary, and keep a constant check on myself and my actions to clear the slate when I do wrong, and continue doing that to continue receiving what I have. And I think with that, in a nutshell.
Oh, that's good, Ian. Thank you very much. But. Yeah. You know, adding on to what Ian just mentioned, even I'm in the 12-step program, and I've had a few 24 hours where, by the grace of God and the fellowship that I've managed to stay sober, and, you know, have a new way of life and recovery. Because recovery to me is not a race. It's, it goes one day at a time. And when Ian was mentioning about making amends and talking about, you know, step four and step five, because I also, in my recovery, I need to take a daily inventory of who I am and where I am in recovery. Because if I stop doing the work and having the spiritual disconnect with God, it means that I'm trying to take my will back. Mm-hmm. And that itself is a big no-no in recovery. Mm-hmm. It should be setting off alarm bells the minute I start to think, you know, my way is better than anybody other way, any other way. And that is me setting up for a relapse or for a failure once again. But I think in daily inventory, when I talk about daily inventory, you know, I write as letting go of selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear.
Yes.
Because these are the main things that really controlled my addiction. It's not like, it's not a one-day process that everything is just going to go away. It's, you know, I need to work on myself every day, every 24 hours. But like the program says, it's one day at a time. And that's how I like to work it. I have a question for you, Ian. How has it affected relationships then and now?
Well, as you can imagine, in my I was married 16 years ago when I attended my first when I realized I think I realized prior to that I had a problem, but when I attended my first treatment center 16 years ago, you know, I believe I'm married to this day by the grace of God. I have two beautiful children, 11 and 14, two boys. How I still have that through the tragic destruction that I caused to those people through all those years is beyond me. It's there's something greater than me by far. You know, not only my immediate family, like my parents, I'm one of four siblings, my brothers, my sisters, their, you know, my in-laws, my brother-in-laws, my sister-in-laws, my mother-in-laws, my father-in-law, you know what I mean? So it's the impact of my addiction was, I was never present mentally, let alone physically a lot of the times towards the end. I wouldn't even show up for, you know, family events or be there to help somebody or console somebody when they were going through tough times. You know, it's amazing. Again, it's hard. I have an opportunity to speak at a, just very recently at a detox, right in Barrie. And I've spoken small amounts of time before to people, and, you know, I have to be very careful about how I approached it with these people, because I've been in those detoxes, in and out of them many of times, all over different cities, for a number of different days, for a number of different reasons, and for a number of different bottoms. But I understood when I was there, I never wanted to hear somebody come in and say, you know what, my family is coming back to me. I got my wife and kids back. I'm living together with them under the same roof. I never wanted that. I never wanted to hear that, because I was so broken, maybe 2-3 hours sobriety in a place like that. And then you have some guy coming in telling me how great his life is. So when I had that opportunity to share at that detox, I truly felt it was still necessary to extend that to them, to say, you know, I sat right where you were many of times a year ago. But now that I'm working and doing what I need to do, being aware of my actions, it's amazing, I'll tell you, Raj, how quickly my wife has turned around. Like she always said to me, I was the perfect Jekyll and Hyde. You know, I was an amazing person when I was sober. But as soon as I put something into my body, I was an animal. And you know, my boys, there was a lot of damage done to them as they were growing up. My oldest, I have an amazing relationship with them today. There is work to be done there. When I do get to my amends, my proper amends, I will go through that with them. But I've been living in the Barrie area since I left Hope Acres on March 22nd. And actually, as of today, by 9 p.m. today, we're waiting to hear from a real estate agent if we are approved for a rental property in the Angus area and to move back together under the same roof together. And I can't believe that in such a short time, our relationship has gotten that tight again, that they respect me and love me enough and want to be with me again under the same roof. Like, it's done a complete 180. It's been amazing.
That's great, Ian. There's a lot I can relate to that when it comes to making amends. Of course, I leave the ex-wife out of my equation. Mm-hmm. There is no relationship there, but I do have a relationship with my sons.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess as fathers, we know how important it is to be those good fathers today.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You don't want, for me it is, I don't want my sons to fall in the same footsteps mm-hmm. that I did, you know,
right.
and throw their lives away. Good for them. They are being nurtured as good children, Christian children. And I think I owe it to my ex because she seems to be doing a good job with them. But, that's what this whole program is about, sharing the burden, doing the 12 steps, being spiritually connected. Somewhere along the way, I mean, there is going to be hardship in recovery. It's not an easy road. There's going to be pain, there's going to be sorrow, there's going to be a lot of negative and positive emotions. But I guess if you might agree that this program helps us to overcome those difficulties or those hurdles.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry to cut you in there. I love what you just said there about, you know, me living in recovery today to live by example to my boys. Life today, as we all know, with the strains of social media, what's happening in the schools, all that type of stuff, to be a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old child growing up in that today is a lot different than when you and I grew up. And for me to be in the healthy frame that I am today and to live by example and to be that person that I know my boys can turn to ask for guidance, questions, answers, and that's just an amazing feeling to be able to be that, not only father figure, but a representation about how to live life on life's terms, really, and get through everyday challenges, right?
That's absolutely true. Learning to live life on life's terms. Sometimes I don't even understand what my sons are saying because it goes over my head.
Yeah.
And I have to tell them, I said, please,
you need to
slow down and you need to talk to me in English. I said, this is only how much I can comprehend, you know, but just having that conversation with them, it's great, you know. I mean, you can understand that you're experiencing that right now, and I've been experiencing it over the time slowly,
yes,
but steadily.
Yeah.
And that's something that obviously I don't want to throw away, but it's like one day at a time, right?
Absolutely.
And there's something that I read from step 10 I want to share with everyone. Just bear with me one second. Yeah, a typical response, you know, for an addict like me, it's to blame somebody else for all the negative emotions mm-hmm. that's there in my mind, you know.
Absolutely.
But that's, it's always, I'm always right, and my problem would have ended if everyone else changed their behavior.
Yeah.
But that was my way of thinking.
Yeah.
I want people, places, and things to change, but I didn't want to change. And therein lied my fault, because I didn't see it that way. Because I was so distorted, you know, I didn't want to take on life the way life was.
Yeah.
I basically wanted life to change around me. And anyways, but that's, I think certain things have to happen in life for me to change, and that's what has happened. And I'm really grateful to God and the fellowship.
Absolutely.
I'm grateful for even Scott, because that's where my spiritual journey really started,
mm-hmm.
with Scott and sharing the burden.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to flatter him too much because
he'll be listening to this later. He'll be listening to this later.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sorry, Scott. But that's where actually my spiritual journey started, with Scott and sharing the burden. And I'm very grateful for what he has done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That connection that I had with God was somehow maintained. You know, I didn't throw away God out of my life.
Yeah.
I think we're going to take a little bit of a break and then we'll come back.
Okay.
We're going to go and pay some bills, and we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.